I believe in being free. God designed us not to want to be in prison or in bondage. We don't prosper. We're not blessed very well when we're in bondage, when we're in prison. People in bondage and so on, we don't do very well with that. God designed us to yearn to be free. There have been uprisings all throughout history from the people who decided that they didn't want to live in tyranny, they didn't want to live in bondage, and they wanted to be free. Sometimes those uprisings go well, sometimes they don't. The American colonies, back prior to 1776, began to realize that they were being put more and more in bondage, having less and less word about how to govern and what was going on with their own affairs. And they just decided, after addressing King George of that many times, him not responding, they decided that he had abdicated his authority by his acts and by his doings and by his creeds. Therefore, they were claiming themselves to be independent. Thus began in this world the great experiment. Prior to the United States coming together to form its own union, to form its own nation, and the Constitution that gives us the freedoms and the liberties that we have now and that we had then, prior to that, there were not very many nations in the world historically that were like that. Some of how we are and our government was modeled after certain aspects of the Roman government. But still and yet, they had, back in Rome, they had to give obeisance to whoever was Caesar. They had to treat him as if he were a god on this earth, and in some cases, he had absolute authority. And that's not what we wanted. We didn't want a king. In fact, a lot of the people back in those days were saying, no king save King Jesus. This nation, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, had Christianity in its heart and in its mind when it began to form together. And where Christ is, there is always going to be liberty. Amen? It's always going to be freedom. So now we have a nation that is going to give its citizens rights. It's going to limit the government and let the states rule over their people, with themselves having a limited government. And they were going to try to see if man could do well governing himself. It worked for a while. And I'll show you a little bit about why it worked and where it started going wrong. Because liberty and freedom, you've heard the expression, freedom is never free, and that is the case. Men paid the price with their own blood in order to buy the freedom and to secure the freedom and the liberties that you and I are that I'm enjoying this day, to be able to stand up here and say there's certain things that, according to the Word of God, are sin, they're wrong, they're to be preached against, but there is hope that God can still save the sinner from his sins. I still have that freedom. I still have that liberty. And I've got it in my mind that there's some government institution that is listening in, at least, if nothing else, listening in to the sermons we preach here. It reminds me, down in Houston, Texas, they elected a lesbian sodomite mayor to be mayor over that town. And I don't remember the whole story, but she wanted, secretly, to gather the sermons of preachers in her city who she thought might be preaching against her and against sodomy and everything else. She wanted to listen in on their sermons to see if they were saying anything bad about her. Well, that became public. And you know what happened? Her office got inundated with pastors were voluntarily sending her sermons. Here, listen to this one. Listen to this one. Listen to what I say about this one. Amen? Kind of backfired on her, didn't it? Okay? But we have a system going on right now where people have liberty, people have freedom. But we're starting to see that if Christ is not at the center of that liberty, what happens to it? So in Leviticus chapter 25, God spake unto Moses, and he said, "You shall," verse 10, "you shall hallow the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. And in verse 11, he said, a jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. And ye shall not sow, neither reap in that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes of it in it of thy vine undressed. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. Now, there's a couple things here. The Bible's always got many, many layers and ways that you can preach the same passage. One of those layers is that this is a shadow and a foretelling that God, one of these days, is going to return liberty and freedom and deliver from bondage His people, Israel, the Jews. Do you believe that? Say amen. God's going to give them that land back. And the Pope and all the prime ministers and all the presidents and all the kings of the world can just go sit down somewhere. God's going to give them that land back. It's their land. God promised it to them. Amen? And so I believe in a jubilee year coming for the people of Israel. But it also pertains to us who are living in this day. Paul said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And I think that applies on many levels. But I will say this, as an American citizen, I love my country. I respect its laws. I respect its governments. I respect things like that. But do not try to take my liberties away from me. I won't let them. I do not want to live in a system of government like communist China, where there are so-called Christian churches in that land, but their pastors must have their sermons and their notes approved by somebody in the government before they can preach them. I don't want that. If I'm going to preach out of this book, I don't need man's permission. I don't need God. I don't need the government's permission to preach what I want to preach out of this book. And if it comes to a place in this nation where the government says, you can say this, but you cannot say that, and God says, say that, we in this church, you're going to be with me, ain't you? We in this church are going to say that. What they don't want us to say. We're going to stand fast in our liberty and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Because I'm looking at a people this morning, and just about everybody in this room has been in bondage one time or another in their life. Let me hear you say amen. Amen. God's made you free. I don't want to go back. And neither do you. I was thinking about this while we were singing those songs this morning. But it's good songs we were singing. And it's the idea that, you know how you know you're really saved? Sometimes every now and then you want to quit, and you just can't do it. Amen? You just can't do it. God won't let you. God's going to hold on to you like you asked Him to. Somebody say amen. And so anyway, that's kind of where we started out last year. And we were talking about this and why we were put in bondage. And this is kind of where we left off last week. It's the idea that I think the devil knows who's on God's side and who's on his side. I think the devils know that. And I think you represent a threat to the kingdom of Satan in this time that we live in right now. There's still some good people in this nation. I'm not saying they're all saved. I'm saying there's still some good people in this nation whose hearts have not been turned yet. And I believe they can still be reached for the gospel. That's my hope and my dream, is that we can still reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that will make us a threat. So I want us to go, before I preach anything else and preach kind of what's on my heart this morning, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. And you pray for me this morning. I'm just not feeling very well today. Woke up this morning, early this morning, sweats on part of my body and freezing on the other. And it's just, the doctor said it's diabetes, that's how it is, and so on and so forth, but just uncomfortable. And so I want you to pray for me and just pray that God will give me clarity of thought. God will preach the message for me, all right? Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for all these that are gathered here. God, these are your people. Lord, they love liberty. They've enjoyed, those of us, Lord, in this country, we have enjoyed liberty all of our lives. And we still have it. We still have the liberty to preach the old time way. Still have the liberty to preach the gospel. Still have the liberty and freedom in this nation to preach right is right and wrong is wrong. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for those that are joining with us online. Lord, those are the people who have been in bondage before. They've been in bondage to men. They've been in bondage to cults. They've been in bondage to false teachers and false religions. They've been in all sorts of bondage. They've been in bondage to their own sin. bondage to their own flesh. And Lord, you have come that we can all be free from that. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them today. Bless the folks out at Kenya. And Lord, I thank you that there's a government in that nation, in that land. Lord, I know, God, there's a lot of corruption, just like there is here. But Lord, once again, those politicians standing up in Kenya telling Barack Obama, leave your sodomy in America. We don't want it here. God, I pray that you'd bless that nation. Bless them, dear God. Give them good crops this year. Bless them and make them rich. Make them wealthy, dear God. And Lord, just give them abundance, Lord, for their stand and their willingness to stand against iniquity. Stand against the evil, God, because they know what it'll do to their nation. And Father, I pray, dear God, that you would just be with those people, as good as they are, Lord. Just be with them. Thank you, Lord, for them joining with us today. Lord, I need your help to preach. I pray, God, Lord, that you would stand before me. And Father, that your Holy Ghost would preach to all of those listening on the inside what I try to say on the outside. And I pray that your word would be exalted. And God, that your word would go forth from this place and not return unto you void. Lord, help me to preach. Jesus, you be the preacher today. You stand in my place. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. I remember I was amazed the first time I went to Kenya. And we were in Rongo. And Pastor Achilla was bidding us farewell. We were going to pull out early that morning and leave and head back across the country back to Nairobi. And Matthew was with us and he comes out wearing... He was wearing a t-shirt with a big buck deer on the front. That's the kind of shirts he likes to wear. And I said, Pastor Achilla, I said, when we get back home, me and Matthew here and Caleb, we're going to get ready because every November we get to go out and shoot and kill deer and eat them. And Pastor Achilla looked at me and he said, you can do that? I said, oh yeah, we do it every year in America. In fact, we got plenty of deer, and I said, we can kill about as many does as we want to, as long as we get a permit for it, you know, we can kill them and eat them. He said, oh, you have a good government. I had to weigh that. I had to think about that. But, you know, I guess in some ways, they're right. We can go out on our land, find an old tree somewhere, cut it down, cut it up for firewood, or cut it up and mill it, maybe use it for lumber over there. And over there in Kenya, they can't cut a tree down. Government won't let them. It's all forest reserve, and a lot of that stuff's under the United Nations, just like they're wanting to do it here. It's all out there. And there are certain restrictions that they have on them, and some of the reasons why they can't do what they want to do and live how they want to live is that they have restrictions placed on them. And I'm just telling you that there are some good freedoms that we have in this nation. Let me run down some of them real quick. Number one, we still in this nation have a right to gather and assemble. We have a right to assemble. This deal that went on over this farmer's land out there in Nevada, you remember that? The government showed up and they roped off an area and they called it, what was it, the First Amendment area? And they said, now you people can get inside this little area right here and you can protest all you want to and say what you want to, but that's how we want it. And those people said, absolutely not. My Constitution guarantees me the right to gather and assemble peaceably and to say what it is that we want to say. And we're telling you, we're not getting in your rope. We're going to say, and the government ended up backing down. You remember that? We have a right to assemble. We have a right to come into this place and preach the Word of God. I've got some pastor friends that go out into the street in some of the worst, meanest places in the world, in cities. And they get out there, they don't go out to the nice places, they go to the mean places, downtown. And they preach the gospel and preach the word of God. And they're hated for it. They have people spit on them, have people threaten them. Have people, you can just see that Pastor Cooley told me, he said, they're just devils in their eyes when I'm looking at them. And God has made him in such a way that he stands out there and he's not afraid. I'd be folding up going, oh, that'd be me. We still have that freedom in this country. We have the freedom to be able to express our ideas, whether they are for the government or against the government, whether they are for the president or against the president. And I want to tell you something. You can accuse us of anything you want to. I don't dislike the president of the United States because he's black. I don't dislike him because he's biracial. I don't dislike him because he came from Chicago, although if there was a reason, it would be the Chicago reason. I don't like him, I don't like what he says, and I don't like what he stands for, because what he stands for and what he believes in is contrary to the Word of God. Amen.
And I don't apologize for saying that. You call me a racist all you want to. I'm just telling you, the Bible says one thing, he says another. Him and Nancy Pelosi and all this other crowd say whatever they want to say. Well, I'm going to say what I want to say. Based on the Word of God, we still have that freedom. We still have that liberty. We can print up Bibles. We can print up tracts in this country without getting anybody's permission and hand them out. And let me feed you in on something. Did you know that in this nation, you can print up millions of tracts with King James Bible verses in it and don't have to pay anybody a royalty for using those verses in there? Did you know that if you print up NIV verses and gospel tracts, you have to pay Zondervan? There was a pastor down, I think it was down in Southwest somewhere, Arizona, something like that. He had it in his mind. His church wanted to hand out gospel tracts. He had it all laid out, had them all printed up, had NIV verses in them. And Zondervan shut him down and said, "You owe us money for printing our Bible and your gospel tracts." That's bondage. Amen. We still have that right. We still have the right in this nation to own property. You say, what's the big deal about that? That doesn't exist in a lot of places in this world. The right for the common man to own a piece of ground, no matter how small or how big, and do what he wants on his own ground. God gives man that right. And it's the New Age people and the earth worshipers and Al Gore and everybody else that wants to take that right away. But we still have that right in this nation to own our own ground and have a say what goes on. And if somebody comes on our ground that's not invited, and they show up at 3:00 in the morning and start trying to come in your house, we have a law that says it's understood that they're not there to sell you a vacuum cleaner. And you have an absolute right in the state of Missouri. It's called a castle law. You have an absolute right in the state of Missouri. If somebody comes breaking in your house at 2:00 in the morning, you have an absolute right to put them down. Because they're on your place, and you have a right to defend it. We still have. You remember that couple that came here to get married, John and Martha. Bless their heart. I love them. He was one of the few men in Holland that could own a gun. And he had a gun shop. He had a shooting range. And he came out here. We didn't have a shooting range. We had a guy's backyard. We just shooting guns all over the place. Amen. But he said, Mike, he said, in Holland, he said, if a guy comes in my house and starts stealing stuff, he said, I just about have to let him do it. He said, if I try to hurt him, or if I take one of these weapons that I have a right to own and try to shoot him or hurt him, they will come in here and they will strip me of everything that I've got here. They'll say to me, you're a dangerous person. See, that doesn't make sense, does it? But it's going on in this country. We're seeing the change being brought forth right now, aren't we? So we have freedoms. I have the freedom to say what I want to say from the Bible. A few weekends ago, what was it, last weekend? The Sodomite Parade in St. Louis, the weekend before last? They marched up and down the streets of St. Louis. Lewd conduct. Half-dressed. Spouting out their lifestyle. Being applauded and cheered by the people lining up and down the streets. Major corporations in the St. Louis area had their signs all over the place because they had helped fund this thing. According to our laws, they have a right to be the way they are. And we find that abominable. So here's what's happening. God gave us liberty. He gave us freedoms. He gave us the ability to do pretty much whatever we wanted to do. But with every place and in every place that there's liberty and freedom, there is a responsibility for that liberty and that freedom. Let me show you where I'm going. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Now that is one of the two commandments that you and I are under. The first one is, love the Lord your God with all your heart. How many of you love Jesus? Say amen. Amen. The second one is, love your neighbor.
even if they're a sodomite. Hard. That's difficult. You got to love them. Love them enough to preach the gospel to them and hope that they get saved and come out of that nonsense. Amen? Love them in a way that you know that what they're doing is wrong. You go to them privately. Go to them with the gospel. They may not hear it, but you'd like to see them saved. There's been times in my life, God put people in my life, and God gave me a burden one time where I said, I'd like to see them saved. Steve Leonard was one of them. God put a burden on my heart to want to see that man saved, and he's in heaven right now because of it. And I'm just telling you, that's what we're called to do. We're called to love and to serve one another. But we are not to use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. This idea that, well, bless God, I'm under grace. Bless God, I got saved 30 years ago. I don't have to worry about anything. I go out and do whatever I want to do and still go to heaven. And God said, no, you don't. You're using the liberty that I gave you, the freedom from the condemnation of the law. You're using that in a way that I never intended. By the way, we can look at our founding fathers and look at this nation now as it is, and then we can see our founding fathers shaking their head going, that is not what we had in mind. I say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I got some illustrations here up on the screen. Sodomite marriage is now a law of the land. It's being challenged in courts still yet, but I'm telling you that it will continue to be the law of the land in this nation. It is using liberty as an occasion to please and gratify the lust and the desires of the flesh. And God never had that in mind. George Washington never had that in mind. Ben Franklin, for all that he was, never had that in mind. None of those guys had that in mind. But that's the results of it. People will always take liberty that they have and they'll push it as far as it can possibly go. And don't say you haven't done it. I'm not saying you're a sodomite. I'm not saying you try to get married. I'm not saying you try to kill somebody. But have we not all taken the liberty that God has given us and tried to push it as far as we could go? Amen. And we're not supposed to do that. Out in Colorado, they pushed to legalize marijuana smoking for everybody. So they gave them the liberty to smoke marijuana in the state of Colorado. I have no plans of going there, by the way. Amen. As far as I'd love to go to Colorado, I'd like to drive around and see the countryside. But as of today, I have no plans to go out that way. I don't want to be anywhere near that nonsense. Somebody say amen. Amen. And now the states around the state of Colorado are fussing and feuding because the marijuana industry is growing in Colorado because it's legal. And these people are coming into Missouri and Kansas and Oklahoma and states all around it, bringing their pot in where it's not legal. Boy, if you ever wanted to divide a nation, here we go. Yeah. And it's all because people use the liberty that this nation has given them and that God has given them to occasion to satisfy the lust and the desires of man's wicked flesh. And I want to tell you something. Anytime you go against the laws of God, that's not liberty, that's bondage. They're using liberty to satisfy the lust of the flesh. People have a right to sit in their home, or wherever they are, and look at stuff on the computer all they want to. In fact, let me tell you something. There's a bunch of liberals in this country. The United Nations is part of it. They have this rule that they want to guarantee children to have access to the internet unrestrained, unregulated, so that they can look at whatever they want to look at, so that maybe there's a 12-year-old girl out there that doesn't know if she wants to be straight or gay, so she gets on the computer long enough. Guess who's going to make the choice for her? The computer is. Now, let me say this. That's not a good idea, is it? But it's being done in homes all over America. Give your kid that laptop. Let them look at whatever they want to look at. We're not to use the liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Amen? They want to change the drinking laws so that persons younger and younger and younger can consume alcohol. How old were you, Roy?
10.
They're stretching and pushing the liberties. You're paying for it. Amen. Keep abortion legal. What was it? 1973, the Supreme Court allowed the torture and murder of its own citizens by way of abortion. Abortion should never be legal in a Christian nation. But it was legalized. And now it's sort of the de facto rule of law. And I don't think you and I can perceive at how difficult it would be to try to eliminate abortion out of this country. It would be like the government finally saying, we're cutting off all the welfare payments. We're cutting out all the food stamps. Because after all, your great-grandma and great-grandpa didn't have welfare and food stamps. And HUD to pay the rent. They didn't have that stuff. You know what they did? They worked. They did without. So they could feed. My granddaddy grew up, how many? 11 brothers and sisters? Grew up on a sharecropping farm, Central Arkansas, with probably 13, 14 people in their house. And they all worked from the time they was about 4 years old until they grew up. And then they went out and worked. And they made it. And they did just fine. And those people knew the value of a penny. But see, now we want to take that away. We want to give people rights and liberties, and we're going to keep abortion legal. We're going to make it so that anybody, they are going into schools. And in some states in this country, a child cannot get an aspirin from the school office without a note from mom and dad. But they can get an abortion. And according to rules of some states, mom and dad have no right to know that they even did it. That's sad. It is sick. So you know the inevitability of what's going to happen, don't you? We're going to lose our rights and our freedoms. Because while the people's heart was centered upon God's laws and God's commandments, they ruled themselves and they ruled themselves well. But when in the absence, and I'm going to show you this from the Bible, in the absence of God's rules and God's laws and God's ways, in the absence of that, there is no liberty. You're not free. You think that you are free to do whatever you want to with your own body, in the privacy of your own home. You think that you should be able to be free to do that. Whereas if you were out one night and you were drinking and you were drunk and you were going up and down the street puking everywhere and starting fights, they could arrest you for being drunk in public. Drunk and disorderly. And yet if you're sitting at your house and you're guzzling down one after another and you're doing whatever kind of whiskey or vodka or whatever it is, you're sitting in your own home, you think you should have a right. You say, that's my right. That's my freedom. I have the freedom to do this in my own home. Right? To those of you who think that that's your freedom and your liberty, and you should be allowed to continue that and do it in the privacy of your own home, here's what I have to say. Try quitting. You want to drink in the privacy of your own home? Drink in the privacy of your own home. Now quit in the privacy of your own home. Those of you who used to suck cigarettes, boy, there, who remembers the day when you walked into a hospital and there was ashtrays all in the hospital? And some of my kids are going, what? So yeah, it was nothing to walk through Walmart and have somebody leaving a trail behind them in Walmart. You smoke everywhere. They smoked in courtrooms. So they're taking away, that people's smokers are going, we think we should have the right. And so they want to be able to smoke in their own home and they think they're free. Try quitting. Here's what you find out. You're not free. You're in bondage to the next cigarette. You're in bondage to the next can of beer. You're in bondage to lust, lasciviousness. You're in bondage to that, and you're not free. So it's not really freedom to do those things that you want. What you really want is freedom to not do those things. Amen? Amen. Consider this verse. Do you know who that is? Who knows who that is? That's the athlete formerly known as Bruce Jenner. I am not calling him what everybody wants to call him. I'm not doing it. You know what he was? He was the American dream child, wasn't he? Grew up in a typical American home, trained himself in track and field, won the decathlon, won the gold medal, got on a box of Wheaties. Amen? He's the American boy. This is the kind of liberties that go to please the flesh. And let me tell you something. He may have changed himself over to a woman, but as of right now, he's not either man or woman, and never will be. All he did was put himself in a far worse bondage. So what does the Bible say? The false prophets, false teachers, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is he brought in bondage. And think of him, he used to be a man. He fathered children. That's a man. But he let his lust, and that's what it is. He wasn't born half a woman. He wasn't born with this woman on the inside that wanted to come out and be free. That's not how he was born. What happened, and what happens is, you let your lust run free. You don't let God help you keep it under control. Keep it down in there where it needs to be, locked up. No good thing that Paul said was in his flesh. They wanted it locked up so it didn't come out. And he decided he didn't want to do that anymore. So now he's let this thing come out of him. He let it overcome him. And now he, for the rest of his life, Jody, is going to be a servant to this new grotesque creation that he's made himself into. He is never going to be free ever again. It's not liberty, is it? It's not freedom. I don't care if the government allows it. It's not freedom. I don't care if the government protects it. It's not freedom. And that would be like the extreme of it. But the truth of it is, all of us have got a little something in here that needs to stay locked up. You let that come out of you. And all of a sudden now, by the way, this is 2 Peter chapter 2. Now I'm teaching through this, what is it, on Wednesday night? Teaching through 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 is talking about the false prophets and the false teachers. You know what it says about them in this same area? While they themselves, they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom man is overcome, the same as he brought in bondage. Let me just say this about the false prophets and the false teachers like Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer, she claims that she's free. She can do whatever she wants to. She's in bondage to money. She is in bondage to money. Kenneth Copeland, he's in bondage to money. And most, and I want to tell you this, most preachers in this nation serve mammon. They are in bondage to money because they know that if they preach things that are in this Bible, that they're going to lose people and they're going to lose money out of their church, and they're in bondage to it. Well, if I said that, I'd run off half the church. Run them off! If they are holding you in bondage and won't let you. And they say, well, we're here because we like how he preaches to us. We went to that other church and all they did was talk about how bad we are and how many sins we got in our life. We don't want that. We want the nice preaching that doesn't condemn us.
Here's our check. And there's a man who is in bondage to that check because he can't say what God tells him to say. I've been there. I like being free. God will bless that freedom. Can I hear you say amen?
But by the way, these false teachers in 2 Peter, you know what it says later on about them? These as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. You know what that's telling me? They promise everybody liberty. They themselves are so full of sin and iniquity that they couldn't get out if they wanted to. They can't stop their own sinfulness. They're in bondage to their lust. They're in bondage to money. They're in bondage to their congregations. They're in bondage to the world. Rick Warren is trying to go out making friends with the Muslims and the Sodomites and everybody else in the world. He's in bondage to those people. He will do whatever they tell him to do and require of him. He'll do it. And any pastor who will get up and say, well, the Muslims, Allah, and the Hebrew word Elohim, it's the same word, so therefore we all worship the same God. Any preacher who says that, they're in bondage. A spirit that's in those people told that man to say that, and he's got to say it. I don't like being in bondage. And we're not going to be in bondage in this church. Let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
So you ponder that for a while. Now watch this. Here's the antidote. Here's the key to the chains. Psalm 119:45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. There's your key right there. You want to be free? Here's your key. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what I think that means? I think that means that God's not only setting the captives free, he's going to enforce the freedom. He's going to keep everybody away from you so that you remain free. Somebody, that's the difference. Amen? Setting them free and making them free is not the same thing. God's not only going to set you free, he's going to enforce the freedom so that nobody or no thing or no institution puts you in bondage ever again. And I'll tell you, once we are free as a people, I can't think of a reason in the world why we would ever want to go back in bondage. I can't think of a reason in the world why we would want to let a hierarchy over our church tell us what we could and could not do as a church. Mm-mm. I don't want that. I don't want that for you guys. I don't want it for me. I don't think I want to live that way. And so let's just roll on, do what God says. Amen? But notice what Jesus said. He said in Psalm 119, it's his precepts. You want to walk in liberty? Seek God's word. God's word will make you free. John chapter 8, he said, if you continue in my word, the truth shall make you free. And I like being free. This is why, and so I want you to follow the progression here. The Sodomite marriage didn't show up 40, 50 years ago. You know why? There were still Bibles in churches and in schools and in people's homes, and people respected churches. They wouldn't throw their beer bottles out on the front yard of a church. For $1 million, they wouldn't do it. Because even the thieves and the murderers had a respect for the house of God. That was back in the old days. We don't live in those days anymore. So follow the progression. Let's take prayer out of our school. Let's take prayers to the Christian God out of our schools, because that's what it was all about.
Yes.
They're praying to Allah in public schools.
Yes. That's right.
And they're praying to pagan gods all the time. But they wanted the Christian God removed out of the schools, and they got it back in 1963. So look what's happened since then. They removed the dwelling of God and His laws and His rules, taking the Ten Commandments out of the schoolhouses, now take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses, and they took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses before sodomite marriage came in. What does that tell you? You walk in God's precepts, even if you're lost, you have an honor for the Ten Commandments. Because you know it ain't right. Towns all over this nation, Sandy, that had laws against sodomy. Not just sodomite marriage. Sodomy. And if you were caught being a sodomite, you were arrested and imprisoned for being that way. Amen. The Navy put you out on the next shore leave. The Army sent you home. They didn't have that spirit there because there was still a recognition of the Ten Commandments in this nation. When our boys left this nation in 1941 and went and fought for our country, they were fighting for the American way, were they not? The American way was the Ten Commandments. We don't fight for that anymore. We fight for oil. We fight for political gain. We fight in order to make some other nation do what we command them to do. But we've walked away from the Ten Commandments in this nation. And when you walk away from God's precepts, you no longer have liberty anymore. So we are going to lose it in this nation. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus came to set captives free. And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He opened the book, notice that. When the book's open, there's going to be freedom. Amen? When the book's open, He's going to give you liberty. And He found the place where it is written. And this is Isaiah 61. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book, and gave it to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogues were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And it's not the preachers and the Bible thumpers of America that are ruining our nation. It's the preachers who won't preach the Bible. Amen. That's ruining our nation. They've removed it out of churches. Now they've removed it out of the homes. They've removed it out of the collective thought of a nation. And now we're seeing our liberties taken away. Because watch this. You guys know it's coming. And they're trying to tell us now, "Well, don't worry. We don't foresee a time when we will force Christian churches to do sodomite weddings." Who believes that? Because once the gates open, then it's going to become mandatory and we'll be punished for standing by the old book. You want liberty? You want freedom? Do what Jesus did. Open your Bible. Amen. Romans chapter 8. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Now there's two words, and I'm going to wrap this up here real quick. There's two words in this passage I want you to look at. Bondage and liberty. Two words here. Bondage and liberty. Let me show you something. The law came. We're teaching on this in Sunday school. The law comes. And now all of a sudden, God gave Adam a law. And now all of a sudden, Adam can't do whatever he wants to do. Right? I mean, he can do most of what he wants to do. There's one tree that he can't do what he wants to do. He can't eat of that tree. He's in bondage. He's in bondage because there was a law. And he wanted to eat. Eve wanted to eat the tree. She decided she wanted to, away from the commandment of God, she decided she wanted to make herself free in contradiction to the law of God. She was so free, she was naked.
That's freedom. Amen. When you get up in the morning and don't have to worry about what to wear, you're free.
But she decided to break God's law because she wanted more freedom than what God wanted for her, and it cost her. Now they're in bondage the rest of their life. You believe that? Say amen. The law, the Old Testament, just puts us in bondage. It's the New Testament that gives us liberty. So you know what I found?
Some of you might already know this. You know what I found while I was studying this stuff out? I mean, when I study to preach, I use our Bible search software and I'm looking through the Bible. What does the Bible say about liberty? What does the Bible say about bondage? And these two words came up and I sat there and I looked at them and I went, this book is right. Let me show you something. How many books are there in the Old Testament? Anybody know? Huh? 39 books in the Old Testament. How many books are in the New Testament? 27. The word bondage is mentioned 39 times in your Bible exactly. And the word liberty is mentioned 27 times in your Bible exactly. Woo!
Yes, amen.
This Bible's right, amen. God says bondage is in the law.
Christ came. Watch this now. Christ didn't come to make us free so we didn't have to not commit adultery. Let me say that this way. God did not set you free so you could go out and cheat on your wife or your husband. God did not set you free so you could go out and steal whatever you wanted to from where you work. I didn't say the candy store. I didn't say the liquor store. I said, don't steal from work. Amen? God didn't set you free so you could lie about everybody. God didn't make you free so you could cheat everybody in the world and serve yourself. That's not freedom. You just added to yourself a bondage.
So here's what God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm preaching through this in Sunday school, and boy, it's good. I'm just going to read a little bit of it here. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
The Sodomites in this country, they say they want emancipation. They say they want their rights. They say they want liberty. But the truth of it is, those people are so bad in bondage. They don't show you this and talk about this. But most of these Sodomites are some of the most miserable people in the world. They take drugs, a lot of them prescription drugs, just to keep them out of the mental institution. They are drunkards and everything else in the world. And they blame it on society for not accepting them. But the truth is, they're getting acceptance everywhere and they're still that way. Do you know why? Because now, it seems like now that America has accepted their sin, now they're locked into it. And they have no reason, Scotty, to ever come out of it. And see, isn't that true now? Let's just take the sodomite thing out of the way now. Isn't that true about things that you've done? Guys didn't want it known that they were messing around with their wife. But now it becomes acceptable. And husbands and wives are doing it. And they say, oh, we're liberty people. We're free people. We do whatever we want to. But the truth of it is, now that society accepts it, they have no motivation to ever want to quit. If the people that you're hanging around are drunks, you will never have motivation to want to quit drinking. Because you got friends in low places. You see what I'm saying? All the things that your flesh wishes that it could do and get away with, once you get there, you have no motivation to ever want to quit. Now you're really in bondage. Because you couldn't quit if you wanted to. Can I hear God's people say amen? You got stuff in you that's just dying to get out. Don't let it. Don't let it. And the government and American society is not going to help you keep it locked up. So you know what that means?
Your help must come from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Amen. You want to be free? Let Jesus open the book to you. He'll make you free. I want us to bow our heads.